Hi, everybody. You're tuned in to the Heritage Radio Network. This show is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. And I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming. Today's show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. That's the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com. Today, I am sitting here with my beloved son and co-host, Andrew Newman.
Wow, beloved.
Yes.
I think it's a first.
And before we go any further, I want to thank today, Nat Wiener is both my engineer and my producer. So if there's any issues, yell at Nat.
Really?
No.
Throwing him right under the bus.
No,
show hasn't even started. You're already blaming him on for something.
Talk to Andrew.
Welcome to my life, Nat. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Today's show, first let's start with, we're on every Thursday.
We are, of course.
Live. If you're listening, you know that. From 4:30 to 5 every Thursday. Also, you can always, if you missed the show live, you can get an archive of every episode on the website, and you can always download a free podcast from iTunes of every show. While we're here from 4:35, we'd love to take your calls. Call us at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, anything. It's good to hear from people out there. Today's show is full disclosure, your debt balances.
Okay.
Debt.
Where are we going with
the
this
American,
one?
The American dilemma.
The American way is more like it.
The American dilemma. So a lot of Americans have a lot of debt, but today I'm going to focus in on...
I've actually heard that's changing.
The debt load is less.
I heard more people are saving more money, which is continuing the recession.
That's absolutely true. More people are saving money, but I got to tell you...
They're still so far in debt that it's
true.
A problem, but...
I yell at people constantly. I tell them, stop saving money and paying 19% credit card. You're getting at 1% interest if you're getting one.
And but it feels better. When you have money saved up, it feels better.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. Financially, it doesn't make any sense. I just told somebody yesterday the same thing. What are you putting money away that you need in 18 years? It's a college fund. Your kid is a newborn, and you have credit card debt. Pay off the credit card debt. You'll come up with the money by the time the kid's going to school because you'll be free and clear and able to pay to save some money later on.
Well, why don't you just balance it a little bit more?
No. I'm telling you, you got credit card debt. I'm talking about serious credit card debt.
Okay.
What's serious? That's another.
What's serious?
Well, that's what I'm going to discuss today. Everybody's level is different. Some people feel very uncomfortable with $6,000, and another person doesn't feel any problem with $60,000. So that's a very subjective.
Well, I think it's more about your income level at that point, isn't it?
No, it depends on how much you realize and accept or deny what the levels are. It's really a psychological thing.
Well, different
thing.
People are capable of handling different levels of debt.
No doubt. So somebody who makes $600,000 a year and they have $60,000 in debt, that's not going to bother them as much as somebody who makes $60,000 a year and has $60,000 in debt. Okay, so
that's
let's talk about when you need to tell your partner, your family, your friend, whoever should know about your debt level.
What kind of debt are we talking about here?
I'm talking...
Strictly credit card debt, student loan debt?
No, debt, student loan debt, car loans,
all that stuff?
Personal debt, credit card, anything that's personal. I mean, a mortgage I'm not going to include in there. And generally, we don't include student loan debt, but it's getting serious.
I have a friend who pays, I think, $1,000 a month.
I've heard that. It's very common.
That's crazy.
Very common. So this really would apply to young adults and people who are, you know, involved in serious relationships, hooking up with, you know, perhaps getting engaged, married, or second marriages, or, you know, people who are moving in together. You know, you're in a committed relationship, or the relationship is going towards that direction.
So now we're not only talking cash, we're talking psychology here as well? Relationships?
Yeah.
We're going back to Dr. Flesh, huh?
Yeah. Well, because I think money is a deep psychological component of life. Absolutely. So you can't separate the two. They go hand in hand. So so let's talk about when. I'm not going to ask you when you should do it yet. I want to ask you, after we discuss this, when you think you should disclose your debt. And I'll tell you when I think it should be done.
Is this a...
a contest.
Proverbial we, or is it actually just me personally?
You personally.
Oh, okay.
Because unless somebody wants to call and tell us when they think it's the proper time. But let's go through the components of this. So, you know, you're getting serious. You're talking about getting married.
Well, I think moving in together is more of an issue.
Well, I think moving in is a separate issue. So can we talk about getting married?
Well, if someone has a lot of debt and you're moving in with them, they might have a harder time. It affects that whole relationship there.
Well, I think that person who's moving in should disclose it.
I think it should be up front before you even get to that level, don't you think?
When do you think you should bring your credit report to a date?
Credit report? I'm not saying credit report. You could have great credit. You have a great credit rating, but you can be horribly in debt.
I'm teasing.
What was that face?
When
wow, you really do have a face for radio. This goes back to weeks ago. You dress for radio. You have a face for radio.
Oh, Andrew's being so funny today. So
I'm finding myself funny. I'm laughing.
When do you tell him on the third date, on the 10th date, in the 6th month, after 2 years? When's the time?
Personally, I'm a third date person.
I asked you to hold your off your decision until we talked about this.
This is a very important
topic
to me.
Third date, I dance way too soon. I don't want to know anybody's financial issues by the third date, nor do they need to know more.
I move quickly.
Well, slow down. So my opinion is, you know, you're getting serious, whether you're moving in together. That, wow. Andrew's bad.
Guitar down.
Andrew's bad. Whether you're moving in together or you're thinking of getting engaged or getting married, you're going to have to disclose this. And what I find often is people who estimate what their debt is. You know they're in denial. Well, how much money do you actually owe the creditor? Oh, you know, maybe like $25,000. And when I say, okay, well, sit down and write it down and put it on a piece of paper. And most people don't even want to do that, the people that are in denial. And when they finally have to do it for whatever reason, it winds up being way more than they thought or they admitted to. Debt is a big has a big dark side to it, and a lot of people can't face it. And it could just come from good debt. Good debt being student loans. I mean, you go to college and you go to a fancy college and your parents didn't help you pay. You got to pay the whole thing yourself. You could easily rack up $100,000+ in a student loan. If you're in this day and age, getting a job after you graduate is a major coup. Lots of people don't have any ability to have a job to pay back that student loan, $100,000 debt.
I have a bunch of friends who went to law school.
Oh,
and they,
that's another big problem.
Well, the positive spin is they went to public interest,
yeah,
and then either the agency or the government pays off your student loans.
Right. They've been doing that. They do that to certain medical students and stuff like that. But the vast majority of people who go to law school, not the vast majority, there's a lot of people who go to law school who can't afford law school and borrow the money, and then they come out and they either can't find a job or a job that's going to even put a dent in their student loan. And then there's the other side of it. There are lots of people that start practicing law and can't stand it and get out of it after a period of time, and they still have this whopping student loan. There are doctors and lawyers coming out of med school and law school that have upwards of $250,000 in student loan debt.
So you're saying don't become a doctor or lawyer?
Nope. I'm saying you have to look at this before
you have
sign
to be rich.
On.
You have to be rich to be a doctor or lawyer.
No, you go to public schools like you did, or find programs that are going to forgive some of this loan.
I went to a private school.
No, I'm talking about the people who go to public law schools or medical
schools. I didn't go to law school.
I'm not talking
you
about
you.
You
said like you did.
No.
That's word for word.
Okay.
Word
so
for word.
This is
don't
now you
off.
Got somebody who you're interested in, and they have $100,000 or $200,000 of student loan. I'm not talking credit card. I'm talking student loan. The doctor has a better chance of paying it off, but that's going to be with you for 20 or 30 years. So it's going to impact all your financial decisions as a couple, whether have kids, buy a house, what you're going to do with your money, because it seems like one person's salary is going to have to pay the student loan debt or a substantial amount of it. So it's going to impact. Some people don't want that burden. That's like luggage, man, baggage. Some people don't want it, and they're going to say, I don't want to be tied down to this debt.
That's not a reason to not be in a relationship.
Well, that might work for some people.
Why?
Well, it's very stressful. Care,
that's ridiculous.
It's very stressful. Then there's people who are in debt, not just with student loans. They have credit card debt. If you're going to get involved with somebody who has serious credit card debt, they have a shopping or a financial problem. And they're not going to be a great partner in all aspects of a relationship. This is an important aspect of every relationship, money. And being able to talk about it, how to handle it. Most people learn how to handle their money from their parents. If their parents are financially a mess and they're 50 or 60 or 70 years old, chances are your girlfriend or boyfriend or fiance or spouse is going to follow in their parents' footsteps unless something dramatically changed. Maybe you could teach them if you choose to stay there. So, you know, getting out of college without a job is a double whammy. You have all this debt. You have no way to pay it back. Law school, medical school, sometimes before you go, you have to look at alternatives. There are public law schools like Queens College Law School or something. There are things out there that are cheaper than strictly private schools. You kind of perhaps look at your budget and say, maybe I really can't afford to go to this ritzy Harvard Law School or medical school, and I'm going to have to set my sights a little lower. What do you think, Drew?
Okay.
So now...
See, but you already told him not to go to medical school and law school.
No, I didn't say not to go.
You said if you're poor, don't go to medical law school.
You said that. I didn't.
That's what you said. Well, you said, oh, plan better. Go to public schools. But those aren't as good as the private schools.
So when...
You don't want to openly discuss what I say. You asked me for comment, and then you don't openly discuss. Why is that?
So what about when both parties have high debt? If both went to law school or medical school, which is... very likely to happen. You know, you meet your future spouse in law school or medical school. You come out, my God, that debt load is off the charts.
Well, you got to get a good job.
Well, yeah, and you got to stay with it. Now, suppose one of them decide later on, 5 or 10 years into this relationship, this marriage, that they want to stay at home and they want to raise their kids.
Well, you have that discussion at that
point. Well, that's a big deal. You can't necessarily afford to stay at home, even though that's something that you may want to do.
You have to plan for that ahead of time. You're so pessimistic today.
No, I'm just talking about how...
I think you should be more optimistic.
Well, I think it's very serious, and I don't think it's something you should take lightly.
No, of course not, but, you know, if you openly discuss these things, it makes it easier to handle the burden of it.
Absolutely.
That's why I said third date.
I don't think third date is... Now that we've talked about
it. And also, if you meet these people in college or law school, wherever it is, you have an idea...
You get a sense.
...of what they're getting, what you're getting into. So it's not like it's the end all just because they have this high debt.
I didn't say it's the end all.
But you said don't get involved in the relationship.
No, I didn't say that.
These are... What? Can we get a playback, Nat?
I think that you have to be open about it. You have to decide when you need to disclose it. You can't disclose this to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that you go out on dates with.
I'm not saying third
date. You said third date.
Third date's serious.
That's way too soon. No way. Third date's not serious.
You're old. Old flesh.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Nowadays, these people on the internet dating, you got half your vital statistics on the Match.com page. What do you think?
That's right. So you should just disclose this on the eHarmony
questionnaire? We're moving faster nowadays. You move quick nowadays in this day and age.
Okay, so you have to be able to talk about it. And that takes time in a relationship. It's no different than talking about sex, talking about love, talking about kids. You talk about money, you talk about in-laws. Those things don't really happen on the third date comfortably for a lot of people. So now we're coming down to the question. Andrew, as we all know, thinks the third date is an appropriate time to disclose your debt load.
Well, it depends on the kind of dates, but I think third date's about the right time.
And I say hold off until you get serious.
What's serious?
A year or two?
A year or two.
A year? At least
that's
a year.
That's withholding way too much information.
No, it's not.
Yes,
that person,
it is.
Suppose you're on the other side of the fence. Suppose you have a chunk of money.
But it's not such a burden you're carrying.
I don't think so. I think you should hold off until you know that this relationship is going to the next step. So
I have a question. When did you tell your boyfriend how much money you make?
That has nothing to do with debt
load. It's a similar topic.
He doesn't know.
He still has no idea.
No, why should I tell him?
How long have you been dating?
It doesn't matter. Five years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Been dating 5 years.
Yes.
The poor bastard doesn't know how long you've been dating.
He doesn't seem deprived. No, he doesn't need to know.
You take care of him? You're a sugar mama?
No. We have our financials all worked out. It works.
You have
good.
A joint checking account?
Nope. We're completely... And remember, you know, I'm not a newly minted relationship.
Yeah, you've been around
here.
The block a few times.
The both of us have been around. So second marriages have even more problems because there are often kids who have college tuition and debt load
there. So you're sharing kids that aren't yours.
And And so the person who comes in not only has their debt situation, but they also are carrying a family of debt. And who knows what the previous marriage, what they left with, you know, with credit cards and mortgages and so forth. So second marriages can be even more daunting financially. Again, you would never move in together, get married without talking about this and coming up with a amicable plan between the two of you.
This reminds me of that. You remember those commercials from like 5 years ago with the credit scores?
Yeah.
Where the guy's talking about moving in with his girlfriend.
No.
And she had a horrible credit score, so he wound up in the basement apartment with no windows or anything like that.
See, that's what happens when
you remind me
when you hook up with a bad credit.
You get it out there.
All right.
A year or two, you're moving in. That's it.
Let's take a break now and come back, okay, and talk about this later.
Well, my funds are gone and the bank says no. I beg in the places where I used to pay. And I'm crazy for cash, but I ain't got none. Oh, I'm just paying my rent every day. Oh, and there's hour of debt.
Okay, we're back. That was an interesting piece.
I was going to say, that was a good song right there, Flash.
Leonard Cohen, a song about debt.
Where did you find that? What do you, Google debt?
I like Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen has happened to be one of my favorite singer-songwriters.
You Google music and debt and find
well,
come up
you know,
with that?
I'm creative. So anyway, so we're going to wrap up. Andrew and I disagree, as usual.
Well, a year is way too long.
As usual.
I think like 3 months.
No.
3 months is good.
Not
time.
At all. I don't need to know your financial issues because I don't know how I feel about you
People
yet.
Start moving. They move quicker now.
I don't think that's such a good idea. Maybe you should slow down and take
your
time. We're
getting old, though.
Slow down and take your time.
Joe.
No. So Andrew and I, again, disagree. We're going to...
You already said that. We disagree a lot.
We disagree on most things. So let's go to our few emails this week. We got a couple of emails. Let's see what Andrew's going to...
Oh, by the way, I'm impressed weekly by your ability to read on the radio and my inability to read on the radio.
Yes, okay.
We're going to try the first question. All right. As you know, I am sitting for the CPA exam. Yes, still. This year, I paid for the review course as well as 4 parts of the exam. This totaled roughly $3,500. Damn.
It's expensive.
Additionally, I pay for membership to the New York State Society of CPAs, $80 a year. Can I write off these costs on my taxes? As work-related expenses.
And that's from Nicole in Staten Island, right?
Yeah, good old Nicole.
Nicole, those are employee business expenses that we can write off because that's going to help you maintain your present job. And that's all deductible, including any books you might buy, newspapers, magazines, in addition to that review guide. I hope you pass.
Yeah,
that's a hard test.
Question. So does this apply across the board to other... areas like say taking the Series 7
sure.
CFA exam,
anything related to your job that you
all these work-related exams,
work-related expenses are deductible. If you buy cassettes, you buy books, you go to these classes, anything you do,
what about
you buy
travel
software,
travel to the classes,
that's probably not software. anything you want, a tape recorder, anything you want to buy to study for these exams, any study aids, and license fees, and organizations that you join, any networking groups for business, all of that is deductible on your tax return as employee business expenses, assuming you have a job.
This is all about the 2% floor, correct?
2% floor, but let's not go. That's too technical. Yes, tally up all your expenses at the end of the year and put them on your return, and you'll calculate how much of it is deductible.
I hope it works out for you.
I hope she passes.
I hope she passes, first of all, and I hope she gets above the percentage
and then maybe she can actually write these off. Maybe she'll have a talk show someday.
Or she can just come on here and we can celebrate her.
Yeah, we can celebrate
That'd
her.
That'd be nice. We'll celebrate her. Please, Nicole, come on by. Come out to Bushwick.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Joanne.
Who's this from?
Amy. Apparently, she moved to Connecticut in March.
That's right. She did.
And I haven't gone through the whole process of changing my address and or getting a Connecticut driver's license, but I was wondering if I should go through that because of income taxes. Will I still have to pay New York City taxes if I live in Connecticut? And if I were to change my address now, would it start from now or would it be retroactive since I've lived there? I guess since you lived there since March. And would it even be worth it to switch because is Connecticut much cheaper than New York?
Okay. Amy, congratulations on your move. It's a great job for Amy. It's not a choice.
She got a job up there.
She did. She got a job.
Oh, you know she got a job. Doesn't mean she doesn't. I'm reading the email. It doesn't say anything about a job.
So it's not a choice, Amy. When you move, you are now a resident of Connecticut and you're working there. So you're no longer affiliated or aligned with New York State and New York City. So you have to start paying Connecticut tax and you no longer are required to pay New York City and New York State. The driver's license and the other things are ancillary. You should do that because you are a Connecticut resident. But if you work there and live there, you are a resident there, and that's what defines
the
income tax rules.
Well, the job's
going to
take out the taxes for her already. So.
Sure, but
so
she was wondering, she still has to file in New York because she has
a
New York affiliation.
Well, New York City taxes you more.
And Connecticut is cheaper than New York.
Tax rates
are
lower.
So you're going to save a little bit of money by going to Connecticut. So congratulations. So now we're going to go on to the creative accountant segment and see what comes up this week. Okay, we got a poem this week from TFS Pedro, and his poem is going to be using the three cards we pulled last week from the Storymatic box. As some of you know, some of you may not know, the Storymatic box is a box of cards, 500 cards, that are situation and character cards used to stimulate your juices to write a creative story, and we require that you write the story using our three cards that we pull and add a financial component. So this week's, last week, we pulled these three cards for this week.
Neglected sibling. I think it's a witness. You have some bad handwriting. And someone is following.
So TFS Pedro, who I don't know, it's anonymous. This is our first poem. This is interesting. And I'll have to dig deep. Maybe TFS Pedro will let me know who he really is or her.
How are we going to give him the wine?
Right. It might be the winner this month because we're going to award a bottle of wine to the best story this month. So the name of his story poem, he doesn't have a name. Let me just read it. Okay. Driving carefree down money lane, trunk full of credit cards for fun and games, stealing from Peter, later for Paul, when he sees that the traffic's beginning to crawl, rubbernecking a financial crash, gawking at the bloody cash, stocks and bonds like broken glass, the voyeur slows, then hits the gas. Thinks he can cruise now, thinks he's clear, but a vision in his mirror appears. Three huge checks he wrote a few weeks back, like three Hell's Angels now on the attack. Gets on his cell and calls his sister. Ain't seen her in years, ain't even missed her. But now he's in trouble, so he yells into the phone, "The law's gonna squeeze me, sis, throw me a bone." All he can hear is her high-pitched laugh. "Huh, you want my inheritance 'cause you spent your half? Is that what you want, you selfish pig? You didn't save shit, thought you'd have the game rigged? Well, check your gas gauge 'cause you're driving on fumes. Your joyride is over. Your blooms turn to gloom. There's just one last thing I wanted to say. Kiss my assets. Squandering just ain't the way."
I'm glad we're on the internet so we can get away with these curses. But
that was pretty good. He incorporated a lot of financial terms in that.
I got no witness, though.
He witnessed a crash.
Oh, he witnessed a crash, and then the Hells Angels were on his ass.
No, the checks were... He bounced some checks. It was like...
He's not good at poetry.
I'm a numbers guy. But anyway, so I want to thank Pedro for sending this, and I just want to add a little discussion on this. Pedro needs to learn how to budget, okay?
We should do a show about that.
We're going to do a show next week about budgeting. And when you do a budget, number one rule is don't count other people's money in your budget. You can't count your sister's money, your parents' money, especially if they're not dead yet, counting your inheritance.
I am.
You can't do that.
I'm banking on it, Flash.
And one important thing is don't bounce checks. They really could get you in trouble. You can go to court. You can get arrested for bouncing checks. So it could be serious.
Well, if you do it knowingly.
Knowingly, correct.
But if you
Well, this guy seems to be a...
Well, maybe he thought he was going to get some...
Fiscally irresponsible.
Well, maybe he thought he was going to get some money in.
Well, maybe he did. So that's our creative accountant segment this week. I like the poem. I want to thank Pedro for submitting it. And next week, our three cards are...
We have a florist, a reluctant participant, and an unwanted inheritance. I never heard of such a thing. What do you get, a dog or something?
By the way, tell the people to call in. You didn't mention a call in.
Well, I don't have the phone number today. You have the phone number today.
Andrew. Andrew's supposed to do his
job. We got 3 minutes left in the show. You tell them to call in now?
Call in.
Call in.
We have five.
Please call in. Call in right now. Hurry up. Give them the number, Flash.
718-497-2128. Let's say it again. 718-497-2128. It's very quiet on the phones today. So next week...
We had one call last week.
Next week...
What do you want people to call about?
The creative accountant with the financial component has to include florist, reluctant participant, and unwanted inheritance.
All right. Can I write the story? Because I'm a reluctant participant in this. Unwanted inheritance is easily because you're not going to leave me nothing. And a florist, you're not going to have any flowers at your wake because, you know, I'm upset about the unwanted inheritance.
What did I just tell you just a few minutes ago? A budget. Don't include other people's money in your budget. Don't count your live parents' money in your budget.
But you gotta wait till they have so much more than I do.
And I, you know how I got it.
Wait!
It's a real.
It's not like you share. What happened to parents sharing with their children, giving them that loving cradle? You kicked me out at 24 and started because you started charging me rent.
So
that's just cold blooded.
I'm
writing the story next week. I'm writing the story next
week.
Well,
hopefully it'll be selected and you'll get a prize.
So
you get a free bottle of wine. You know my favorite.
My story is gonna be awesome.
And let me just...
I can't wait for this free bottle of wine because my story's going to be so good.
The free bottle of wine. You know one of my favorite four-letter words?
Free.
I love free. So I would write a story.
You know
I would write a story.
Cheap.
I would write a story if I could get a free bottle of wine. So
that was five letters. Just had to double check that.
So I just want to tell everybody that Flash Talks Cash is a show for everyone that deals with money. Whether you're a working stiff, you're unemployed, you're a freelancer, you're an entrepreneur, you're a brokester, you're a trust fund kid, or you're a retiree, everybody can get something out of Flash Talks Cash.
Why are you adding this at the end? Put that in the beginning.
And I want you guys to know that if you like what you hear here, tell your friends and family to tune into Flash Talks Cash. I'm gonna sign off early today.
Why? I'm still talking here.
Oh, Andrew's talking. Let's see what Andrew has
to say. Fine, Nat. Just hit the exit music, Nat. We're gonna go.
We'll see you next week. Thank you.